Sometimes that's just how it feels, isn't it, when you're trying to find your way through life. I want to open with a question this morning. Josh McMillan kind of led the way with that. By the way, how many of you think Josh has the makings of a children's sermon person somewhere down the line with just a little work? Yeah. You'll get me for that. How many of you would classify yourself or someone you know well, or maybe someone who's sitting next to you, as a control freak? How many of you? Let me see your hands. You know somebody or you are one. I don't care which way you phrase it. I am very interested in how heads are turning and giving significant looks at the moment. Control freak, it's almost a virtue in our society to be a person who is into planning, into implementing a plan, a person who is into charting the course for your own life. It is a virtue, or considered to be a virtue in our society, to be a person who knows what you want to do and who makes it happen, isn't it? In contrast, we're not very interested or very admiring of people who just seem to drift through life, never knowing where they're going or how they're going to get there if they do know. No, we like the idea of planning and implementing a plan, working a plan, until we get where we want to go. Paul was the same way. I think it started early in his life. I think he got it both in terms of his DNA and the way his father probably acted. His father was a Pharisee and a businessman, and you couldn't have a better combination of two things to turn someone into a planner. The day that little boy was born, his dad had a plan for him, and they worked the plan both in terms of what he would become as an adult and how he would act as an adult. His dad had a plan to make him the next big Pharisee in the family. Paul absorbed that, I'm sure. By the time we come to know him as a young adult, he is a planner. He's a big planner, whether it comes to his education or his first job or what he's going to do in Damascus when he gets there, what he's going to do with the Christians he finds there. He is accustomed to making a plan, working a plan, evaluating the results, and moving on to the next plan. Paul is in charge of his life. Now, we all know what happened on the road to Damascus, and on that day, Paul began to learn one of those lessons that we all just seem to have to learn again and again. Paul began to learn that a Christian lives a different kind of life. A Christian takes a different approach to life. What we thought we knew to be good kind of goes out, and something else comes into its place. For example, Paul had a new plan for Damascus after his conversion. He was going to stay in that town. He was going to work the synagogues. He was going to present the gospel there. And he was going to lead all those people to become Christ followers. In the event, Holy Spirit intervened, evacuated Paul from the city in a rather humiliating fashion, lowered over the wall in a basket, and sent him away for years to no one knows where to be formed as a Christian. He who thought he knew all he needed to know was being sent back to school by Holy Spirit. Paul was starting to learn that Christ followers pay attention to the direction of the Spirit. He had to learn it again and again. In the scripture that was read earlier, Paul and Luke and maybe some others are on what you and I sometimes call a missionary journey. And Paul has plans. He knows the little nations he wants to go to, the cities he wants to go to. He knows where he wants to go and teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Holy Spirit shuts it down, just slams the door in his face at place after place. And then Holy Spirit directs Paul to go to a place he had not intended to go. He winds up in a little town called Philippi. And there, under the Spirit's direction, Paul has to do something he's never before done in his life. He has to meet, work with, and treat a woman like an equal. Now, this is big when you're a first century Jewish Pharisee. It's a huge leap. It goes against everything you've ever been taught. But here's Lydia. She's a businesswoman. She's got a group of praying people pulled together. She works as a partner and a peer to Paul, and Paul has to learn to like it. And the result? Well, a little church is formed. And in time, it becomes the church that Paul loves best. He's learning. Christ followers pay attention to the direction of the Spirit. But Paul's a planner, so he lapses every now and then. And at some point in his life, he begins to plan a trip to the city of Rome. He's not been there as a Christian, but he knows Christians are there. And Paul's going to do what some people do. He's going to go to Rome and raise money. He wants to raise money from the Christians there so that he can finance himself to go to Spain and preach the gospel there. He's going to plan a trip, show up, do the fundraising, and head out. What happens? Holy Spirit intervenes. And yes, Paul does go to Rome, but he goes as a prisoner. A prisoner awaiting trial in Rome. And a strange thing happens because he's been brought to Rome as a prisoner. He gets an opportunity to interact with the household of Caesar, as he puts it, and to present the gospel to the household of Caesar, a little event that had long-running results. Paul had to learn again and again, right up till the end of his life, to pay attention to Holy Spirit's direction. He had to learn again and again, Holy Spirit knows what Holy Spirit is doing. It's a hard lesson to learn for any of us. I've had to learn and relearn the lesson. I still go on learning and relearning it. You know, by nature, I am a planner. I come from a family of planners. It's just in my DNA. It's in my genetic structure. If my grandparents were alive today, they would tell you that when I was in the first grade, I knew the entrance requirements to the state university and had laid out a plan to be admitted to college. I was a strange kid. Planner by nature. I made a plan for a career in science, whatever form it might take, but somewhere along the way, actually in the freshman year in college, Holy Spirit intervened and with much laughter on his part led me into ministry. Into ministry where I had to interact with people all the time. Not easy for me. Well, I went along. He knocked me on the head hard enough to get my attention, and I went along, and being me, what did I do immediately? I started making what? A plan, that's right. I planned, okay, if I'm going to be a pastor, I need to go to seminary and get my Master of Divinity degree, and being me, the way I'm put together, I also want to get a PhD, and after that, I will teach. I'll teach in a Baptist college somewhere or a Baptist seminary somewhere. That's kind of what I'm perhaps gifted for. And it was a good plan, and I worked it until Holy Spirit intervened once again and plopped me down as a pastor in a local Baptist church afterwards. You know, we Christians, we really have to learn to pay attention to the direction of the Spirit. The Spirit pushed me in that direction, opened the doors in that direction. That's where I went. So, being me, what did I start to do when it became clear to me that I was going to be a pastor? What did I do? Made a plan, that's right. If you're going to be a pastor, all of us who are in that business, so to speak, in that calling, start to think when we're young, well, I'll be here maybe 5 years, and then maybe I'll go to this kind of church or that kind of church. And most of us have a wish list because we don't know enough to know that all churches are difficult. So I'm at my first post-seminary church. The phone rings one day. There's a voice on the other end, the voice of a man I've never met, don't know from anyone on the planet. And this is literally what he said to me. Have you ever thought about becoming chief editor of Broadmen Press? Strange phone call, because, of course, I had not. Broadmen Press was a large Christian publisher in that long ago day and time, and I hadn't thought about it, but I began to think about it because Holy Spirit started speaking through other people to me saying, this matches your gifts. It matches who you are. You love books. You love writing. You love helping other people express themselves. Go try it. You'll learn something. And so I went. I went, and I found I did enjoy it. What I really enjoyed was all that I learned there. I met people I never otherwise would have met all over the United States and beyond. And most important for the long term, I learned what it feels like to get up every day and go to work and be in business surrounded by other people. How many of you have that experience every day? You get up, you go to work some way, somehow, right? I've been there. And I began to settle in because it did match my gifts, not to mention my temperament. And then, because he really has it in for me, Holy Spirit intervened again, and through people and other circumstances having to do with broader Christian life, I found myself back as a pastor in a local church. Now, by that point in time, I was starting to learn to be a little more cautious about making plans. But still, I made a few. Then God intervened and did what he's been doing ever since. He moved me from that church to another church, Second Baptist Church, Memphis, that had experienced severe trauma as a congregation. And for the next 8.5 years, working with me and with good lay leadership and other ministers, we brought healing to that congregation. And I'm settling in. My son is in high school, entering his senior year. My daughter is attending the University of Memphis. My wife is teaching in the school system. I'm getting older, and I'm thinking, this will be a good place. I can stay here and do this work. We've about got this place, and, you know, it's nice to be here now. And that's when God laughed and said through Holy Spirit, well, now that you're done here, I'm sending you to First Baptist Church, Murfreesboro. And by the way, they had a 50-50 split a few months ago. Half of them is meeting down the road now in another place. God, are you really sure I need to go to a place that has experienced that kind of trauma again? That's kind of how Paul thought about Philippi, I think. But what? We went. Grace and I went. Kelly stayed at school in Memphis. That was hard. You ought to have seen the looks Chris gave me with regard to his senior year in college, in high school. We went. 9.5 years we spent there working with other ministers and some gifted lay leaders, and we brought a measure of healing to that traumatized church. Now, after 9.5 years, it's a funny thing. It happens to all of us, whether you believe me or not. I was getting old. I'm talking about physically. Oh, I was 57.5, and some of you are going to say that's young, but that's not how I felt at the time. 57 years old, 9.5 years in Murfreesboro. My wife is teaching. I have a child this time in law school. The other child has gone off to Alaska. And you start to think, well, the church is functioning pretty well. I'm 57. No pastor goes anywhere when they are 57. This is where I'll be until the day I retire. Except there was a woman down in Atlanta, Georgia, who had known me for years, and she happened to have been working off and on with the pastor search committee at a little place called Central Baptist Church of Fountain City. 5-year process looking for a pastor. And this woman decided, what she said under leadership of Holy Spirit, that maybe I was the right fit for this time in the life of Central Baptist Church. So at her own initiative, she put them in touch with me, and we started talking, much to my surprise. And over the course of 8 or 9 months, the committee and I both came to a conclusion that wasn't easy to accept. Oh, Lordy, I'm moving to Knoxville. I don't have enough orange in my closet. And we came. And it's been almost 7 years. Now, I tell you all that simply to tell you, all of us, each of us, as Christ followers, must learn and often learn again and again to pay attention to the Spirit's direction. It's how Christ followers live life. And it makes us different from any other people on the planet. We try to pay attention to the Spirit's leading, individually and as a congregation. And it's not easy because often it leads to changes in geography, in the people you're surrounded by, in what you're actually doing with your life, it often confuses the very people who love you most. But it's what we do. We choose to walk through doors opened by the Spirit and to walk the path opened by the Spirit. It often means going to places we had never dreamed of going, doing things we've never dreamed of doing, taking up means and methods we had never envisioned using. It can be disconcerting as all get out, but it is what we do. It's the key to the Christian life. It's really the good life for a Christian. And it's the only way I know to live a full life in Christ. Pay attention to the Spirit's direction. It makes all the difference. Pray with me. Lord, help us this morning. We really are a nation given to planning. We really are individuals giving to planning and being in charge of our own lives. And we're grateful for the ability to take such initiative. We don't downplay its importance. But Lord, deliver us from believing that's the optimum way for us to live as Christ followers. Teach us this morning for the first time, or teach us this morning anew, to pay attention to the direction of Holy Spirit. Help us to open our hearts and minds even now to that direction and to act on the Spirit's leadership. For this we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. It's the Spirit who leads you to Christ, the Spirit who leads you to the congregation, the Spirit who leads you into what to do next with people in your life and the people you've not even met yet. As we stand and sing in a moment, pray quietly in the confines of your heart. Lead me, Holy Spirit. I will follow. Would you stand and sing and respond?